This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين Always forever begin by praising Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We testify there is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى And we send our love and our greetings Our salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم To his pious and his pure family To his companions and all those who follow his sunnah Until the end of time May Allah bless us to be amongst them Ameen walhamdulillah. Kullu amun wa antum bikhair. It is a new Islamic year. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in this Islamic year and may 1446 be a better year than previous year. May Allah grant the ummah izzah, may Allah grant the ummah greatness, and may Allah forgive us and pardon us for the sins of the past. Ameen alhamdulillah. The new year. Let's talk a little bit about time. Talk about time. Wherever you go, you'd find that the calendars of the world have 12 months, whether it's the Chinese calendar, the year of the tiger, whatever it might be, the Gregorian calendar, the Islamic calendar. Somewhere across society, throughout, and these are different civilizations, they came up with an idea that the calendar must be 12 months. Where does this come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ إِثْنَ عَشْرَ شَهْرًا Allah says vividly with Allah, the number of months are 12, and He ordained it The day he yawma khalaqa as-samawati wal ard, the moment he created the universe, he ordained that we would have a cycle of 12 months, and in that 12 months you would have 29 or 30 days. The moon is your daily calendar, whereas the sun is your monthly calendar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed, and that is why you see this commonality throughout the world. We also find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, of these 12 months, four of them are sacred. Four of them are sanctified. Now what are the four sacred months? Muharram is the first, then Rajab, and then Dhul-Qa'dah and Dhul-Hijjah. Three are together and one on its own. The last 2 months of the Hijri year, month number 11 and 12, and month number 1, Muharram, they three are together as the three sacred months, and then you have Rajab, that is on its own. Why? Why are these sacred? And why not Ramadan? We would have said Ramadan should be first on the list. The purpose of the sacred months, from an Islamic perspective, is that these are the months in which Hajj and Umrah occurs. Hajj happened just now. And when Hajj happened, people are traveling. When there's war and fighting, people can't travel. And so Allah decreed that 4 months in the year there should be no fighting, so that the Hujjaj are able to move freely. 1 month for Hajj and 1 month for Umrah, which is Rajab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this is how it should be. He ordained it as such. Now there are many calendars. You have the Hijri calendar, the Gregorian calendar, you have the Chinese calendar. It is the year 1446. The world didn't start 1,400 years ago. The world has been around for many billions of years. What happened 1,400 years ago where we began our calendar? Every calendar is based on a monumentous event. And it is every year, it's a commemoration of that event and a celebration that we have survived one more year. And in fact, the purpose of this khutbah is to remember the event that signifies this calendar, our calendar. We call it the Hijri calendar. Why the Hijri calendar? It's not that the Hijrah was, why not the Badri calendar? We take Battle of Badr, or the birth of the Nabi Sallam, or the death of the Nabi Sallam. Why is the Hijrah taken as this amazing event? From there we have the Hijri calendar. Well, when the Nabi Sallam passed away, the calendar of the Muslims was not yet finalized. There wasn't an Islamic calendar. The Sahaba knew, the Nabi Sallam, as the Quran mentions, we have 12 months. And we know the new month when we see the moon, it's the Ramadan, it's the Hijjah. They knew this. But they didn't have a start and an end to the calendar. When the Islamic Ummah became more advanced and it became the civilization of the world, they had to determine what is day zero of our calendar. When do we begin? And the Sahaba came together and they discussed what event, what moment should signify the first day of our Islamic calendar. Some said, let's take the birth of the Nabi Sallam. Like the Gregorian calendar, it is the birth of the Nabi Isa signifies. And the Sahaba said, no, we don't want to emulate the Christians in their calendar. And the decision amongst the Sahaba was, we will take the Hijrah as the beginning of our calendar. Why the Hijrah? Because it is the birthday of the Ummah. Islam was there. Islam is the universal religion. Islam existed before mankind. And the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam existed many years before the Hijrah. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Makkah for 13 years preaching. But they were not an ummah, they were not a nation. When the Hijrah occurred and Islam established its state in Medina, we as a people were established. And every single Muslim is part of this nation. You have a nationality as your passport, South African. But above that, you have a nationality with Allah that you belong to the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that ummah, that state was born 1,446 years ago. And every year we get to Muharram, it is like it is to say to the world, we have survived. We are still here. We are still a nation. We are still a country. Ups and downs. We've had catastrophes over these 1,400 years. Khalifas that were killed. Capitals that were destroyed. But the Ummah remained. And the calendar continues. And now a new chapter begins. It is also beautiful that the Sahaba, when they decided on this event, that is the day that we came together as a nation. They also mention that as Hajj ends, many of the Hajjis, when they come back, their life, they are being born again. Literally, when you leave Arafah, you are born anew. And so the whole Ummah, we've been through Hajj, even those who didn't go on Hajj, the whole Ummah, inshallah, fasted on the day of Arafah. And so the year ends with Istighfar. The day which Allah forgives the most is Arafah. And so imagine what a great year. The biggest bonus Allah gives you is at the end of the year to fix that. And then you begin Muharram, a brand new year. This was the opinion of Sayyidina Uthman. Let us take Muharram as day one. Because everyone almost starts off Muharram brand new. Alhamdulillah. And that is the symbolism of this event. And if we talk about the event a little bit before the Hijrah, the context is so beautiful. The Nabi Sallam is in Mecca, as we said, for 13 years. He's preaching, he's giving da'wah, he's calling people to Islam. Eventually, after about 10 years, the Nabi Sallam realizes, my people in Mecca are not really accepting my message. And Islam needs to find a new home to be established. He goes to the city next door, Taif, and he's given even worse treatment than the Quraysh. And we know this was the lowest point in his life. The Nabi Sallam was very clear. There were many bad moments in his life. Many people that he lost. He himself died, almost died many, multiple times. But when he was asked, what was the lowest point in your life? He said, after I went to Ta'if, I presented my case and they treated me so brutally. It wasn't that they stoned him. It wasn't the stoning that was painful. It was that moment after Ta'if when he's on his way back to Makkah. Makkah is abusing me. I'm just, wallillah mathala. How can we give analogy? You are in the most miserable job of your life. You are in a place where you just want to leave your job. Your boss is the worst. Now you go for an interview, and that interview is so terrible that you're going back to that boss. Now you're on your way back to work and you're sitting in traffic and you're thinking, where am I going? This is the lowest point of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's thinking to himself, Ya Allah, where do I go from here? Ya Allah, have you left me? Ya Allah, I'm a failure. I'm supposed to be Khatam al-Nabiyin. I'm the last Nabi. But there's no, I see no light at the end of this tunnel. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would show the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that there's a plan ahead that you cannot see. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after Taif, he goes now, and really, how belittling must it be for him? On the days of Hajj, he goes to the Hajjis that are coming from the different tribes. So like we have Hujjaj from different countries, at that time we have Hujjaj from this tribe and that tribe. And he would go and ask for an appointment. Can I speak to you? I want to tell you about Islam. Just the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And they would go and he would pitch and he would present. Some of you are perhaps in sales. Perhaps one of the most demoralizing, you give your best pitch, your best kind of sales, and you get complete rejection. And one by one, he is rejected, he's turned out. Throughout Hajj, he's going day in, day out, through the days of Hajj, trying to pitch, trying to, and he has an itinerary. These are the big guys, I need to go and speak to this tribe, and that tribe, and this chief. And each one bangs the door in his face. You're a madman, you're crazy, what nonsense you're talking. And he's on his way back home after a long day, when he sees six butas just sitting there at the Jamarat. Six random butas sitting at the Jamarat. And he asks them, do you mind if I speak to you? And they said, okay, no problem. It's the days of Tashriq, Hajj is finished. The guys are relaxing. And he asks, where are you from? And they said, we're from a little town called Yathrib, which we know to be Medina. The Nabi even asks, Yathrib there in that north? Little village, Dorpi, no one really knows much about. So they said, yeah, we're from there. And so the Nabi says, can I give you my pitch, can I tell you about Islam? And the Nabi starts speaking to them with the same kind of vigor, the same kind of enthusiasm as he gave to the chiefs. Imagine again, put yourself in your shoes. You got a list, you need to sell whatever it is, and you're meeting all these CEOs, CFOs, and all of them are banging the door in your face. And now you're sitting at the, I don't know, at the shop, you know, ordering some food at KFC, ordering some whatever, not KFC, whatever other, at the tikka shop, you're waiting in the queue, and you see these random guys sitting there, and you say, can I talk to you? I'm selling whatever. And they said, fine. And he's talking to them, and he's giving them the same attention as he had given the CEO. And these guys, their eyes go big, because they've heard this before. They've heard this story before in their town from a community of Jews that were living there. The Jews told them, a prophet will come, he will look like this, he will do this, he'll be the final prophet, he's going to change the world. And the Arabs thought, ah, you mad people, man. These are crazy people. Now they're hearing the same story on Hajj by someone else, by an Arab. And they embrace Islam then and there. And they said, can we go back and tell our people in Madam? Bismillah, you can go and tell your people. Little did the Nabi didn't himself know that this would be, those six people would cause the whole world to change. You and I are Muslim. Because of that chance meeting. 5 minutes earlier, the Nabi would have missed him. 5 minutes later, he'd have missed him. That little conversation was that moment that he would change the world. We take from us, we are planning our route and our strategy. Allah's plan is very different. You have to go out, you have to do the work, you have to do the effort. But where Allah has put your rizq, where Allah has put your solution, where Allah has given that cure, you don't know. But you have to go out and plant the seed. And no matter how many times you are beaten down, you are let down, you have failure, you don't have the luxury to give up. And that's what the Nabi had to do. And so he meets these six brothers, they embrace Islam, they said to the Nabi, we promise you, we'll tell our people about you, and we'll come back here next year. We make an appointment. Next year we'll get you here at the Jamarat after Hajj, the days of Tashriq, we'll get you here. And they were truthful, they came back, this time 12. Then they ask for a teacher. Ya Rasulullah, we are alone in Medina, send us a teacher. Nabi sends one of the Sahaba, Mus'ab, to be their teacher. They said, we'll come back a third year. The third year they return. This is the third meeting. Now it's 70 plus people. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, we are just a fraction, the whole of Medina is ready for you. Leave this, leave these people here, these Quraysh. We are ready for you to make hijrah. And not just you, all the Muslims of Makkah, make hijrah to us. And this is the beginning of our ummah. That is how our ummah began. That is where our calendar begins. It was an idea. It was a notion that in the middle of the, in like this little village, this little town, in the depths of Arabia, in the desert, would become the home of the religion of Allah. And it will be that place that will change the world. Many people said, you're crazy. You're telling me you're going to have a little town in the middle of the Karoo, Adorpi, and this town will rule the United States of America, would conquer Russia. Are you guys crazy? And wallahi, those same six people, those same Sahaba, they would live to see that. They would see this come true. And so every Muharram, every Hijri date is a new chapter of that meeting and the fruition of it. Every Muslim on earth is a product of that meeting. And we are part of that ummah. And so that is an introduction to where we started. We are now, the book continued. There are many chapters, ups and downs, but we are writing the new chapter. This chapter is our chapter. And maybe 100 years from now, people will tell what did we do with our chapter? Every nation, every time, we've got our own problems and issues, our own catastrophes, our own opportunities. And it is for us to find our solutions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make it easy. He gives every group of people their challenges, but their solution. Every sickness has its cure. And so inshallah, we will continue next week to talk about a bit more about what did the Nabi do when he established his city of Medina? What do we learn? And how do we plan for the next chapter of this wonderful story? There's a lot of announcements, and so we have to shift quickly to some announcements. So inshallah we'll continue, and we ask Allah to bless us that we continue this wonderful story of this ummah until the day of Qiyamah. That this year will be a great year for the ummah. For us as an ummah and for you personally as well. May Allah bless you and your family. Ameen. A few announcements. We make dua for Uncle Hassan Asmal. He is not so well today. And we ask Allah to grant him shifa. And he's always missed here in the masjid. We also remind everybody that on Tuesday is the 10th of Muharram. 10th of Muharram, it's important we all fast. In fact, it was ordained, fasting of 10th of Muharram was ordained before Ramadan. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba, the first fasting that was legislated was the 10th of Muharram. And the 10th of Muharram, I know Karbala happened and Imam Hussein's death happened, but that's not the reason why we commemorate it. The commemoration is like our 10th of, like our Muharram, it is the day that Allah saved Bani Israel as a nation. The day that Allah defeated Fir'aun. The day that Allah shows for the whole, and this is because it's symbolic, that every year you will have a tyrant, every time you will have a genocide, that's not going to change. But Allah will always intervene and He will support His people. And so as Allah saved Bani Israel, we fast and we commemorate Allah's mercy for us as well. And so whoever of you can fast the 10th of Muharram, which is on Tuesday, fast the day before or the day after, the reward is a year of forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you for the year. So it is an opportunity not to be missed. Then in commemoration of Muharram, I mentioned this last week, that just as improbable as it was that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and these six people would change the world, when Islam came to our country here, there was a genuine belief that Islam comes here to be extinct. The colonizers took the ulama, the awliya, from different parts of their colonial empire, and they dumped them here in Cape Town with the idea, nothing can survive in this land. Cape Town, even Tuanguru wrote that it is a cursed land, when he was very heartbroken when he came here, that nothing grows in this land. There's no, Islam cannot survive in a hostile environment like this. And in fact, there are many, many examples of Islam thriving and being strong in better countries, disappearing, becoming extinct. We should not have been here. Against all odds, this ummah has survived at the tip of Africa, disconnected from the rest of the ummah. We did not have an access to the Khalifa. We did not have ulama, awliya. We only had what was sent to us, and that was it. We didn't have Qur'ans. Subhanallah, a Qur'an was not sent to us. It was the ulama who had to write it from memory. So having all that against us, it was not. It's a miracle and a gift by Allah that we are still here. And we are, as I say many times, a very, very privileged Muslim minority. And so every time we march, our 10th of Muharram, it is amazing that Allah, it is a great wonderful blessing that us as Muslims, we survive here. And therefore, it's a something for us to celebrate, to be proud and happy of. And so I know the weather is against us, and may Allah make easy for all those who are struggling in these times. But we have plans that we will have the march on Sunday, this Sunday coming. And if you and if the rain is still is if it's raining, then we'll have an indoor or under the at the Burano Center. But what we want is we have like over 1,000 goodie bags for kids. It is a celebration for you and my kids. Tell them that you are part of this legacy. So if you're not coming for the march, buy some of the goodie bags, give it to your kids, or sponsor a few, and we can distribute it to madrasas and tell them that you must be proud that we as a Muslim community here in South Africa, and we hit well above our weight. The Muslims of the rest of the world, they know. The Muslims of Cape Town in particular are a formidable Muslim community. As small as we are a catalyst for change and for good. And so we should take, this is your celebration as well. For those of you who can contribute, please assist us. And then lastly, but by no means least, the following Sunday, this is where the work comes to it. It's not just about fancy talks. The AGM. The first thing that Nabi Sallam did when he established his city of Medina, before he built his own house, he built the masjid. You are not a community. You can have hundreds of Muslims in an area. Until you build that masjid, you are not a Muslim community. And so the masjid is the symbol of a Muslim community. This is a masjid. This masjid, our AGM, is on the Sunday, the 21st of July. It's at 10:30 in the morning. We need good people to assist and be on our committee. There's a great, Allah mentions in the Quran that those who are the trustees, the mutawallis, those who take care of the masjid are a special group of people. And so what a great thing to have on your CV with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, ya Allah, I was part of taking care of one of your houses. I was part of taking care of a symbol, a sha'air of Islam. The masjid is the symbol of Islam in your community. And before we can, you know, think about protecting the harams and Masjid al-Aqsa, we need to take care of our masjids here around the corner. So you are all musallis, you are all stakeholders of this masjid. You come here, we are very appreciative of you being here. So please, those of you who can contribute and assist, join us at the AGM. We want to hear positive and negative feedback that can make us do better. But more importantly, we want your time. We don't want donations are welcome, but we don't need the donations. We need your time. We need your support. We need you to take us, as we said, we go forward as a community. That's you. That's us. So we hope to see all of you there, inshallah, next week. Bismillah. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.